Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprises throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program recorded weekly at WJR in Detroit. During the spring and summer of 2015, only the second hour of our show, which features listeners' questions, is heard live each week from 5 to 6 p.m. every Saturday on WJR 760 AM in Detroit. However, both hours of this show are available each week on this podcast and are available to all of our affiliates across the state of Michigan. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor Podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hello, this is Foster Brown, co-host and producer of the Internet Advisor. Welcome to the first hour of our podcast, and it's going to be all about winners. We've got a couple of young women in our studio who have won some significant prizes from the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. We're going to be talking about them, with them, about their careers and how they're about to take off, and with some of the folks from the council as well. Talking also with a very proud dad and his young daughter who is also interested in launching into information technology. It's a proud day here for us. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, co-host of the program and producer as well, along with Mr. Ed Rudell. Good to have you in the studio here, Eddie.
Always great to be here, Foster.
And we're delighted to have Bill Carver back with us. Bill, good to have you here.
That's good to be here. And by the way, hi, Cal, wherever you are.
I know where he is. He's probably in a 30-degree ice rink.
That's right. Cal's on ice someplace.
Cal's on ice, okay.
And somebody else who's enjoying things on ice, but is not himself on ice, is Mr. Gary Baker, who is at a family wedding this weekend. And we're delighted that he could share that with his family. Because we've got a great group of people in studio today. We're going to be talking with some young women, as I said, who are winners of some of the scholarships that have been handed out by the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Will also be talking with some of the people from there and some other folks as well. But first of all, before we get any further with that, there's some headlines that have gone on this week, and I want to follow up on one that we had before. Remember, we had the mayor of Royal Oak in. We had him on the air with us.
Oh yeah, the Smart Park.
That's right. And the Smart Park was at Royal Oak has a segment of kind of a little piece of real estate in the middle of their downtown.
Yes,
which is part of. It's a great downtown for walking, but what they've done in the past is they've used that to kind of, you know, hold, they close the street off and they've hosed some bands down there. It's kind of a neat place.
Right, it is. You know, and when they have Art Fest down there, I think that's what it is.
Right, Art Beats and Eats.
Yep. And it's a triangular area, and it's really not that large, but I mean, it's ideal for they were doing a crowdfunding project, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So what they thought was, let's take this piece of property and let's do things like give people a station where they can tap into Wi-Fi,
right,
or charge their devices.
And put some kiosks there,
talk about the downtown events, and do some other neat things like you can charge electric cars there, for instance. Well, they put it as you said, they made a GoFundMe project thing out of it, and they hoped to raise $30,000. Guess how much they ended up raising?
$30,000?
$85,000.
You know, I tried to do that GoFundMe, and I only got like $500.
Well, what was it for, Ed? A new bandsaw?
No. Yeah. No. No. My daughter was trying to get some funding to go
for
her internship.
That's right. And we helped her to get over to London for that internship. That's right. I forgot about that. Well, in addition to that, what happened was that yesterday, Friday the 26th of June, they were handing out some of the prizes. Like, I made a donation, so I was a little USB stick. It was an 8 gigabyte stick that they gave out as a way of thanking people for that. But $85,000 came in.
So are there any plans, like, you know, any tentative plans, like it's going to be done or construction starts?
We're going to have the mayor on and we're going to find out.
We're going to find out where that money is going and how quickly people are going to be able to get their hands on that to be able to enjoy that. One of the other things that happened this week, Ed, and I saw was kind of fascinating to me, was that Lenovo unveiled a $130 PC. It's a PC on a stick. It's kind of like, you know, they've done for TV, right, like the Roku.
So it's not a jalapeno on a stick.
No.
I love that show. No, it is a PC on a stick. That's great, you know, because, you know, that's popular. Google has one. The yep. Chromecast, Fifavi, we've had them in a few years ago. That
That's
really
right.
didn't go anywhere.
Right, it didn't. I was kind of a little ahead of its time, I think, because in this case, Lenovo has got, it's called the Idea Center Stick. It's 300, mm-hmm. and it plugs into the back of a TV, any TV.
So HDMI connection.
Right, exactly. And then it's got 2 gigabytes of RAM on board. I think it has 32 gigabytes of storage on it. It's got an SD stick on it. I'm curious, between the two of you guys, do you think, who would this be for?
Me? It would be for me.
Yeah, you know, it makes it easier. If I'm traveling somewhere and I want to go somewhere, instead of having a large laptop bag, I just bring my PC on a stick.
Yeah, and you can bring a wire. It's got Bluetooth, so you can bring a wireless keyboard mm-hmm. and a wireless mouse, and right. you're all set.
You know, and it's perfect. I was thinking about this. You buy your mattress, you get your free TV from Paul, right? Paul's TV. And then for $129, you got yourself a computer. You can get a 40-inch TV with HDMI. I mean, you could have a 40-inch
PC. Sounds like
PC.
A man cave solution.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and think of the conference room solutions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in big corporate business, you know, Microsoft is coming up with that 80-inch thing that they're making in Washington, you know, that smart TV.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, conference rooms have always had issues with you know, how am I going to broadcast this information? For $129, you could buy a 40-inch TV for just about $120, $129 Lenovo on a stick, and, you know, you're good.
Do you think this is the kind of thing that would, like, our users could use? I mean, they don't do a real heavy, majority of our people who, you know, listen to the program don't do a lot of heavy computing. This could get them their email. They could watch a Netflix, I'm guessing, through this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking of, too, is my parents or grandparents. I mean, tablets were the way to go, but tablets are portable and such. But what happens if you want that full screen, you know, watch a movie type of thing?
Yeah, I'm wondering, as I look at this kind of thing, how viable it would be for the normal computer user. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I think it's the lack of expandability would be a problem for it eventually. But for $130, when you want to expand it, spend another $130 and...
Yeah,
you've bought one computer,
Companies like Vizio have said that they're going to be integrating these in most TVs in the near future. So, I mean, TVs right now are already coming with an Android operating system. It'd be just as easy to throw a Windows 8.1 or a Windows 10 integrated in a TV just as easily.
That'd be interesting. This should be available later in the month of July, apparently. And I think it's kind of fascinating, and wonder what impact these kind of things will be having on the rest of the computing industry. So, folks, look out for that. Look for more news on that Lenovo in its $129 PC on a stick. Hey, we'll be back in just a couple minutes to talk with a few winners, young women who have won some significant prizes from the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. All that coming up in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Thank you for being with us and for bringing us into your home or car or wherever you happen to be listening to this part of our Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown. Ed Rudell's my co-host today, and Bill Carver as well is in here with me in studio. And Eddie, as you know, over the years, on a number of occasions, we've enjoyed conversations with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. We're proud dads of very, very intelligent daughters.
Yes, yes. And I tried to encourage my daughter. My daughter's a natural. Seemed like my daughter inherited my, technical ability and can take things apart and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But she's also very much interested in the arts and writing. And that's where she took her career.
Yeah.
And as much as I tried to swing her to the technology, better paying jobs.
Well, a couple of people in studio here, I think, are taking that hint.
Yes.
But first of all, I'd like to introduce somebody who is from that Internet, wonderful organization that's been helping young ladies to move into the field of technology and right the balances again in some ways. I'd like to welcome Linda Mitchell, who is the Vice President of Programs for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, good. Good to have you with us. You know, you folks have just finished at the end of May handing out some very significant prizes to young women like the two who are in studio with us right now, helping to further their careers and their education. Matter of fact, in the last 10 years, how many dollars have gone out?
Over $725,000 have been donated to young girls like today to really advance their education and technology.
It's exciting to think of all of that investment, and it really is investment in these young women's careers. As a matter of fact, there were five in particular that I saw who had won the, this is the 2015, what was the category for these?
These are for the scholarships and the laptop winners. And,
that's right.
And it was really an exciting evening. I actually was able to present the awards that evening. And it was really great to tell their story and really see them earn really big scholarships, some upwards of $30,000.
I know, very significant.
Which really goes a long way.
Well, let's start talking to a couple of these smarty pants, and especially the one right next to you, Emily Morningstar. Emily, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to this place.
I went to Salem High School, but I graduated this year.
I was in
my school's Get It Club, and that's how I found out about the MCWT.
Yes, now tell us about the Get It Club, what that is, because it's very important to this.
Well, Get It is Girls Exploring Together Information Technology. It's an all-girls technology club. At my school, mm-hmm. we meet Fridays,
mm-hmm.
and we do web design competition every fall, and in the spring, we program Lego NXTs.
Oh, wonderful. Now, how many years were you doing that?
I did it all 4 years of high school since I was a freshman.
That is really cool. Was technology something that you were interested in from the get-go and you didn't need much encouragement in this area, or did this kind of feed it so that you really got interested?
Well, I thought technology was interesting, but I was a little intimidated by these clubs that were completely filled with boys. And
uh-huh.
I thought this would be a safe place, and I really found out I actually liked it.
That's wonderful. It was more than safe for you. How much was a scholarship that you earned, you know?
I think it was like 30,000-ish.
Woohoo! 30,000-ish is pretty nice.
I'll take that, thank you.
Yeah, that is really nice. It was the Get It Scholarship. Am I right, Linda?
Yes, it was.
Okay, you can press that button. There you go. It was the Get It Scholarship.
Yes, it was.
So it was very worth your while getting into that club. Congratulations to you, Emily. Sitting next to you is Tanya Thomas. And Tanya, you kind of represent the graduate level because you are now, that's where you're going with your prize money, right?
That's right, Foster, yes.
Okay, what has brought you to this place?
Well, first of all, I'm going to thank Linda for referring to all of us as young ladies, because not all of us are.
Younger, some.
I've been working in the technology profession for a number of years now, a couple of decades now. I am a long-standing member and volunteer of MCWT. I was on the board of directors for a time, overseeing the K-12 programs,
uh-huh.
many of which I am now a recipient
of. That's wonderful.
So I consider myself to be really blessed in that sense. I really just wanted to use my acumen to make the world a better place, and I mm-hmm. think that people were struggling a lot with technology, and it came really easily to me. And so I wanted to apply myself into giving people back more of their time rather than struggle with the technology.
In some ways, Tanya, you are the statistic of, unfortunately, the lower statistic of women who have stuck it out in technology, aren't you?
I guess that would be the case, yes. I think I'd probably fall in a number of other minority categories as well.
Well, but you've stuck it out, and good for you for that. And in recognition of that, I noticed here that you were given the President's Graduate Scholarship. And
yes.
A significant amount of money that you're going to use now in graduate school, I understand.
That's right. I'll be starting an education technology program, a master's degree program at the University of Michigan, Dearborn.
I hope that you're able to take that passion that you've had for helping young women now and using this new set of credentials to be able to advance that as well. Emily, you are going on now to make your first steps in higher education. Where are you heading?
I'm heading up to Michigan Tech.
Woo, you're going to be among the frozen chosen.
Definitely. I bought a new coat and everything.
I love it.
That's great.
And what is your course of study going to be up there?
I'm going to study computer science.
Excellent. Boy, a great place to do that. Guys, you know, it's interesting, Ed, I just noticed last week that Houghton County, by the way, where you're going, which has got an incredible technology center up there with the university, that the county itself is now certified for broadband. I just saw it the way that Crawford County had been the week before. So another, all that power that's been concentrated in the university is now going to be spread out across that Upper Peninsula.
Now, have you taken the tour of that facility yet?
Yeah, I've been up there a couple times.
Now, did you take the train up there? It's almost like the Hogwarts Express. You can actually go take... you could take a train, you know...
Really? That's
what, yes, you know, for the tour in the early... Well, in the late winter, some of my friends did this with their son. They just drove him up to a certain point in Michigan, said, here, you take the train. You're on your own, bud.
Was it like Hogwarts? They had to go to a pillar?
Well, he described that. Yeah, like that. Magical place. Magical place.
That is really neat. Well, that's going to be fantastic. It's a great place up there. Huge university. And... Yep. And so have you got any, you know, long-range plans, things that you'd like to do with that information, with that computer technology?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Well, you mentioned the Get It program was involved in robotics as well. So is it something that you're looking like at robotics as one of those areas?
I think I'd more like to stick with maybe software, maybe.
Yeah.
Excellent. Boy, this is exciting. I kind of wonder if we get a chance to come back. I don't know if you're around, but in 10 years to find out what's happened from both of you. You know, Tanya, you going on to take the skills that you've had over these years, now refined with these new levels of certification, and what you've been able to help young women to do, and Emily, to see where you end up. That'd be kind of neat. Young woman I knew, and this is quite a few years ago, graduated from Michigan Tech up there, Ed. She went from graduating at Michigan Tech into a mid-management level job with IBM on the East Coast. I mean, very, very impressive. Mm-hmm. Both because she was a very smart young woman, and because they were looking for people, fortunately. And Linda, that's got to be Linda, you and MCWT. That's your goal, is to get these powerhouse young women into these kind of positions.
Yeah, our goal is to have Michigan State be the number one state for women in technology. I mean, it's amazing when you talk about where technology is going. 77% of the new jobs in the next 10 years will be around technology. And there's fewer women that actually go into that. Our goal is to really encourage young girls to be excited about technology. I've been in the technology field for over 20 years, and it is it's in all the industries that we're in today.
Mm-hmm. Right. Has it been a tough hole then in that sense? Maybe, you know what, I want to hold that question for you for a little later on, because I want to talk about some of your experience, maybe Tanya, you as well, as women in technology, what that's been like. And Linda, by the way, has achieved certainly a significant position as a director of cloud sales and devices for Microsoft's Heartland division, which is the one right here in Michigan,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
We've
talked
with a number of your colleagues about the devices, and boy, I know cloud technology is huge. So congratulations on that. Now, you're talking about young women, I mean very young women, and the people who encourage them. And we're going to be talking in just a moment with the gentleman who's here, who was a mentor for some of these young women at a recent Camp Infinity, and he brought along a specific young woman that he's encouraging as well. Jay Aho and his daughter Haro are with us in just a moment here. And thank you once again for bringing us into your life with our podcast. First hour of the Internet Advisor. And by the way, don't forget, the second hour is the fun, too. That's when we answer our questions live on WJR with our listeners there. And some, I think probably some folks who have been listening to WJR for a few years as well, Jim and Barb Morningstar are here, proud grandparents of one of the people who is in studio here, their granddaughter. Emily Morningstar is a real smarty pants. She is just graduated from high school and is going on to Michigan Technology University. Thanks to, in part, and thanks to a scholarship from the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, we talked about a little bit earlier on. But Jim and Barb, with good reason, you're very proud of her, and we're glad to have you listening in here as well. Now, I want to move on to somebody else who's been encouraging young women quite close to hand, and that is Mr. Jay Aho is with us right now. Jay is a senior manager, data analytics, and a business intelligence at Delphi. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks even more for the work that you and some of your fellow members of SIM. Now, like, give me the full rundown on them, what that stands for.
Society for Information Management.
And that is an organization that takes people like yourself or top management levels, people in information technology through business here in Detroit, and there's lots of you because of the big three being here and the car industries and many other things. You volunteer your time in this particular case for something very special called Camp Infinity, which happened just recently. Talk a little bit about Camp Infinity and the role of yourself and other volunteers in that.
Yeah, you bet. So Camp Infinity takes young ladies and gives them the opportunity to learn about the basics of software development and website development. And a number of the members from the local SIM chapter had a chance to hang out with these young ladies at lunchtime and just answer questions about careers in technology and learn a little bit about them.
What were some of the big questions that came up?
It was a variety of things. We talked a little bit about education and the benefits of that. And also, we talked a fair bit about pets, too, didn't we?
Pets as well. He's consulting, by the way, with the other part of the firm here. And that is his daughter, Hara Aho. Hara, thank you for coming here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself. What grade are you in?
I'm in fifth grade going into sixth.
Fifth grade. Yeah, that's right. We just graduated. You're going into sixth grade. Is that middle school where you are now? Or is that... That is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're actually kind of moving... For some people, we'll be moving into middle school. So have you been involved and interested in technology for a long while?
I think it kind of started when I was younger, when my dad used to always go downstairs and do phone calls with people and work on his computer. And I just thought, like, his job is just to hang out and call people. That sounds really cool.
That's pretty much it.
I want to do that for a living.
And then,
Ed does that too, yeah.
And then we got into learning, me and my sister, because we would hang down there with him, we would learn more about different things he did on the computer.
Oh, really?
And then my dad, he told me about this camp that he had heard of called Camp Infinity. And I also heard that it was going to be on the campus of Detroit Mercy.
Oh, that's right.
Which I've kind of dreamed ever since I learned my mom went there.
Oh, really?
I've dreamed to go there.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I've also really always been interested in things like taking apart pens and putting them back together.
Ed, a kindred spirit here.
Well, she started out simple. Me, I always use the knife and the electrical outlet and toasters, so don't do that.
You can skip that stage, okay? Thank you very much, Hara. Yeah. So you like taking things apart, don't you, huh?
Yeah, I think I really like to see how things work.
Oh, yeah.
And to see why things do what they
That's
do.
That's great. So you have this natural inquisitive spirit in the house, Jay.
Yeah, we always thought of her as the engineer of the crew. So
really?
Yeah, she definitely took a liking to it.
I love it. So what are the age of the girls who are in Camp Infinity?
I think it goes up through the eighth grade.
Okay.
And starts at, third grade? Is that too early? I might be wrong. Fifth grade?
Oh, it starts in fifth grade. Okay, yeah. So the grade you were in, and it goes up to eighth grade.
That makes sense.
And what is it intended to do? And you know, I'm going to bring somebody else who's here involved, because I think you were involved in helping with that. Tanya, yes. Who was one of our prize winners, Tanya Thomas. Tell us a little bit about Camp Infinity, then, because you have been involved in it, haven't
Actually,
you?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. When I was overseeing K-12 programs in my day a few years ago, we were just getting some of those programs started. My very first inception getting involved with MCWT was actually washing tie-dyed T-shirts for the girls. You know, a very low-tech, very non-tech sort of thing. Washing and drying tie-dyed T-shirts for the girls. But in its inception at the very beginning at Lawrence Tech was some of our very first camps. And I myself, and we've had a host of instructors characters. I was also teaching Flash programming for some of the girls. That was very, very, it garnered their interest a lot because they were able to make that moving media.
Yeah.
Which I thought would really appeal to them.
To see something happening. So, Hara, did you get a chance to do that? Did you use some programming so you saw things happening?
Well, for the fifth and sixth graders, you start at a basic level, which we did making tables and making web pages.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so it was web design. I got you.
And then on the second half of the day, we made worlds using a virtual world creator where you would put a character into a world, and you would usually, for us, we added maybe two or three, and you can make them do commands, like you can say... there's the name of a character and then say or move.
Okay.
And then so you had to program them to do certain things.
Voice commands, Jay, then, that you were able, they were teaching them?
So all about logic, right? You know, if you take a look at the tool, years ago, we used to play around at home with a tool called Scratch, which was developed by MIT, and we made a game about, what, frogs and toads or something.
Me and my sister first worked on the frogs and toads one, where there was a toad and there was a frog. And the frog would shoot, I think, slime, and the toad would shoot, like, warts.
But they shot something.
And we would, like, basically it was about a minute of running around and trying to shoot each other.
It sounds like a great game. Got them interested in technology, though, didn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it definitely was one of the pieces of the puzzle. My wife and I have always talked about for our kids, so much of their learning is exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the opportunity to actually expose them in a very tangible, hands-on way in something like Camp Infinity was just invaluable.
That's right. So this has been a passion of yours, hasn't it? Is it just that this is your career and you want to make sure your girls carry on in that? Or why is it? Why are you promoting this?
You know, I think that's certainly a big deal, but also the opportunity to give back. Sounds a little cliche, but certainly the opportunity to be a part of the SIM organization has been unbelievable for my career, the opportunities that I've been given throughout my career. And I think information technology is one of those industries that allows for growth in a very natural way. It allows somebody to come into an entry-level role and truly excel in so many different paths, whether it be very creative, very visual arts oriented, or far more scientific. You know, I work with my entire team at Delphi is far smarter than me. And when it comes down to understanding data and what it can do for a business and how that drives value, just the amazing things that happen, I look and I realize that we've got a real neat opportunity to give that back to a generation.
So. And you're doing that with your daughters. And Tanya, you were doing that with many other generations as well. So it's kind of nice to see you now getting the scholarship funds to be able to continue and expand that.
I am. I'm hoping to continue with that. I know one of the very big things that I'm a huge proponent for is really sort of evening the playing field and offering widening opportunities, access to educational opportunities across the board for folks. And so to be able to do that with, as I move on in my career and my accomplishments, to be able to, again, give that back and afford those opportunities to other people is really important.
It's kind of interesting, the spectrum that we have here. Hara, you're in, going into sixth grade, just beginning. We have Emily just graduated from high school, and then you, Tanya, are going on into grad school. Kind of neat to see all those different stages of people's development. What do you, ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? What kind of things do you want to do when you grow up, Hara?
My mom always told me not to just focus on one thing. And so I have a couple of different ideas. I kind of want to be an engineer for certain things like car enhancements. And then also, I think I want to be if it comes to it, I might want to be a teacher.
Oh, very important job. Yeah.
And also, after walking around Dad's work, it seems kind of interesting to me now.
There's a lot of opportunities there. Sounds like you got somebody coming up behind you there, Jay.
Yeah, I hope so.
Jay, I want to thank you and the other volunteers from the Society for Information Management. Ben Rabande, that's been around since 1969. We're going to have links to both that organization and to the Michigan Council of Women in Technology to find out more about Camp Infinity and some of the other things we've been talking about. Hara, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Been so much fun talking to you, and the best to you. Jay, thank you for paying back.
Our pleasure.
And paying it forward as well. And Tanya, to you for all the work that you've done. In just a moment, when we come back, we're going to be wrapping things up. We're going to be talking with Linda Mitchell, who is the MCWT Vice President for Programs, about some of the other things that they are offering to help young women to move forward in this field. Thank you for being with us here during this first hour of the Internet Advisor Podcast. Foster Brown, the co-host and the producer of the program, along with Ed Verdell, and so far our silent partner, Bill Carver. But he'll be more talkative in the second hour when we're answering questions from our callers, and we're looking forward to that as well. Thanks, Bill, for being here with us. Sorry that Gary Baker couldn't be here. He is just so, we have been over the years involved in supporting the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and I know how much he wanted to be here for this program. Linda Mitchell, I'm so sorry he couldn't be here for that, and but delighted that you could be here, and so glad you brought all these different people in studio with us.
Yes.
It has been a lot of fun. Linda, by the way, a little bit about your background. You're the director of cloud sales and devices for Microsoft's Heartland District. A little bit about what that means, this position that you've gotten to.
Yeah, so I've been at Microsoft for almost 18 years, all in the technical sales area. And my role is I have cloud architects and cloud sellers working with many of our large enterprise customers to find solutions that will be more efficient.
And I know with your new boss, Satya Nadella, that has become a huge priority, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It has, definitely.
You are right on the cutting edge of where certainly he sees Microsoft going. And I know with Office 365 and so many Azure, and so many of the other things that you're working on there, hugely, hugely important. And Gary, I know, is very involved in that as well. So we talked a little bit with Jay Aho about the work that his organization, the Society for Information Management, those volunteers had helped to make Camp
Yes.
Infinity go. But there are a lot of other people involved in that gathering of those little girls
Yes.
and some very, very experienced professionals as well.
We have over 300 volunteers each year, which is amazing.
Wow.
And how it's grown. I've been actually personally involved for over the last 10 years, and we have many different programs. So we're up to 5 Camp Infinities.
Wow.
And they are always a sellout. There's usually around 45 girls for each camp. They go for 5 days at the different universities like Lawrence Tech and some the other campuses around the area.
And this one was at the University of Mercy, right?
Yes, Mercy, yes. This last
week. In Detroit.
Week. Yes. And then at the end of the week, actually, they present the work that they've been doing.
So oh, that
Friday
is so
afternoon.
Cool.
And many of our, we have 64 different partners, which are a lot of the technology, as well as our large, you know, the enterprise companies and automotive companies have been very involved, actually come in and listen and to these presentations.
Isn't
these girls.
That cool?
It's really, it's
these
very, very rewarding.
45 girls from 5th grade to 8th grade,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That
week.
Is so cool. Emily, yes. I'm curious. Emily Morningstar, now you've won certainly a wonderful scholarship to help you with your education you're stepping into at the Michigan Technology University up way up north. Among the Frozen Chosen in Houghton. Were you ever part of Camp Infinity? I'm curious.
No, I wasn't. I didn't know such a thing existed.
Oh, but you got involved in the Get It program when you got into high school, right?
Yep.
And is that like the next stage then for girls?
Yeah, so the Get It Club actually is, like she said, after school, they meet for the whole year.
Mm.
And the first half of the year, they focus on this web design contest that takes place in
that's
December.
Right. Oh,
and
that's
I've
right.
actually been a judge for the last 5 years, and that's also a really exciting event.
It is,
event.
Yes. We've had some young women on the air with us who have been involved in it well.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the second half of the school year, they focus on robotics. And we actually sponsor the robotics competitions that go on throughout the area.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try and do with the clubs is actually form a really, and we usually have a teacher that's sponsoring as well after school. And we also do, through the Get It Clubs, we've had different field trips at the Microsoft office, at Cisco.
Oh, that's cool.
At many different areas just to really get them exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the web design winners have actually then been awarded through Comerica every year an internship, a summer internship.
Oh.
In IT. Can you imagine that in high school?
Oh, I love it.
It's a great opportunity.
Was anything, were you involved in any of those, Emily?
Well, last summer I had an internship at Mercedes-Benz Financial, but that wasn't related to my web design performance.
Well, excuse me. Mercedes-Benz Financial. That's still pretty impressive, young lady, but that's exciting. So, that, in other words, as you go on through this, you're catching girls at a very young age. Mm-hmm. They're getting involved through a number of programs in schools.
Yes.
Camp Divinity is only one of them. Tanya, I know you've worked with kids at these young girls at very young ages. What are some of the other programs that help kind of catch girls and start feeding them into this system?
Well, I definitely think that the web design contest is one of them. I've been involved for a number of years there. I am the training day instructor for the beginning girls during that portion of the contest.
Wonderful.
Over the last 5 years or so, I'm the person who helps get them acclimated mm-hmm. to just the basics of putting together a web page.
I'm trying to remember, what are some of the other clubs, though, that are available at schools for girls? Now, Emily, you mentioned that in high school it's Get It, but I mean, aren't there in grade school some things going on? I'm thinking of, is it Oak Park that has some special... Okay, everybody's looking confused. I'm thinking of something that we ran into it at over the years, and I'm trying to think of who it was. Some school systems had other ways of catching girls and keeping their interest.
Well, besides the robotics clubs and STEMs
there
and stuff
go.
Like that.
STEM,
and the Lego clubs, yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that are helping to feed kids into this. But specifically, I'm going to ask this question now, Linda. For parents who have been listening, grandparents who have been listening, where do they jump in? How do they get involved? How do they get their daughters and granddaughters and nieces involved?
So go to our website, mcwt.org, and it has all the upcoming events, the different organizations. The web design contest will actually kick off September 1st, and that will go through December. So that's probably the first stage. It's a great opportunity for especially the high school students.
Okay,
we also have the schedule for the Camp Infinity. What I will tell you, though, every year that we have the Camp Infinities, and that's why we just added the fifth camp this year, is that they're usually booked within as soon as they show up on the website.
Okay.
So
all right,
very,
folks.
Very popular.
You've gotten your fair warning. You've gotten your fair warning now. We just finished one of the Camp Infinities, so they are going to be opening up those places pretty soon. Again, we'll have on our homepage a link, of course, to mcwt.org. That's the place that you go to find out more information about this and many other programs.
And you can also follow us on Twitter, and we also have a Facebook page. So
Facebook. Forgive me for not mentioning the sanctum sanctorum of social content. Contacts at Facebook, but Twitter also becoming very, very important as well.
MCWT.
Okay, so it's at
MCWT.
Very good. I want to thank you so much, all of you, for having been involved here. Tanya, thank you, and congratulations again on the President's Graduate Award, the scholarship there. Besides the money, you also got a nice laptop that I understand involved?
That was not me.
Oh, that was not you.
So we did have...
Who got the goods?
We did have three laptop winners in addition to the scholarship winners.
Okay.
And so we were able to award some Dell laptops. And we've done that every year as well.
Nice.
And then I know FCA... Fiat Chrysler of America, they actually had a new scholarship. They awarded 10 girls with $3,000 scholarship.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
That evening, there was many scholarships.
I love it. So this is kind of neat to hear that there's momentum building, and more and more people are hearing about this and are getting behind supporting the involvement of young women in technology. So,
and then one thing I want to add is we actually, this year, for every scholarship winner, there was 22 that night, scholarship or laptop, we actually assigned a mentor from our advisory and our board. So we'll make sure that through their college
Emily,
education.
So you've got one coming up? You have a mentor coming as well?
I have a mentor. I've met her, and she says I can call her anytime I need guidance on stuff.
Oh, wow. That's really... Skype occasionally, maybe?
Yeah, she said I could do that.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, then you're going to have somebody who knows your passion, who's been involved with you, and I want to wish you the very best up there, Nora. We teased you about it, Emily, but Emily Morningstar, thanks so much for being with us. And again, your proud grandparents, Jim and Barb, who are here, congratulations to you. Wonderful young lady as well. Tanya, thank you very much for all that you've done in the past, and boy, I'm so glad that you have been blessed by this scholarship. It's a reward, I think, for a lot of the great work you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Foster. Thank you, MCWT, for the recognition.
Absolutely.
And I just want to keep going with the work.
And Linda, I want to thank you. And Becky Price, who's been in the background here. She's the Vice President of Marketing for MCWT. And I think this is a great way of telling people about MCWT.
And that is the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Linda Mitchell, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Great job here. Okay, folks, coming up in just a moment, we're going to be stepping into kind of our other hat. We're going to get these two guys here in studio working. That's Mr. Ed Rudell and also Bill Carver, answering your questions coming up here on The Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of The Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll find past podcasts, our toolkit of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget, look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of The Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much for joining us here on The Internet Advisor. The good advice continues. What that means is that the phone calls need to continue as well. Have you got a concern about your computer, a question about your software, getting on the internet, getting around it, or getting over what you have happened to you? We've got some great experts in studio to hear you with some good advice. Here's the number to call, 800-859-0957. That's right. Give us a call right now. Get lined up, 800-859-0957. Thank you very much for joining us here for The Internet Advisor. And this, as I said, is the time when we are here at your service to answer your questions. Dr. Dean does a great job of getting your toes in the dirt and the plants to come up. And our version of that is electronic. Bill Carver is with us. Bill, thanks for joining us here.
And thanks for having me again.
Bill is... He works out of the Quicken Loans building downtown, where he's been working with all sorts of Macs and also PCs. Eddie Rudell is also in-house. Good to have you here, Ed.
Oh, I'm so glad to be in studio.
That's right, especially with the weather outside. Here's the number again, folks, 800-859-0957. We'll get to you in just a moment. It's time for us to check in with Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And this time, we're catching Mike at one of the great festivals, if you will, of technology going on throughout our state. Mike, I understand that you're out somewhere around Mason, Michigan, at the Ingham County Fairgrounds for something very special going on right now.
I am. I'm at the Michigan Renewable Energy Fair. They've been having this a number of years now, but it's close to 10. They've moved it around the state. It started off in Neckama, which is up in northern central Michigan, and they've tried it a couple different places, but this is very centrally located right near Lansing. They're expecting, by the end of the day, thousands of people to come through. There's
great.
80 or so exhibitors, and you can learn anything you want to know about renewable energy. If you want to get solar panels, wind, anything along those lines, it's all here.
And Mike, that's become a big theme in Michigan, hasn't it? The whole business of renewable energy.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, solar is problematic because it is Michigan, but certainly we got plenty of wind. Off the wind, just coming out of Lansing, how appropriate, right? The legislature's right here. But you have those big projects that ITC is doing up in the sun with the wind farms. And,
oh, yes.
That's contributing quite a bit to the grid. Right now, the mandate is that 10% of all the power in the grid must come from renewables. Governor would like to see that go up to 20%.
Right.
So fairs like this show consumers, you know, just and businesses for that matter, what they can do in this space because you can save money. You can unplug from the grid.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And generate your own electricity.
So. Folks, by the way, this is the kind of field and topic that Mike is following and continues to follow with MI Tech News. And you can keep up with things that are going on like that. Or one of the other headlines I saw there is kind of interesting is that consumers is going to be using drones to inspect their power lines.
Yeah, just got approved on Monday. And it's only going to be in a couple of counties, Jackson, Mason, and Tuscola counties. But the FAA has approved it. Little drones will be flying along the power lines. And, you know, if there's issues with the maintenance or after a storm or something, they can spot where the damage is.
That's fascinating. A great use of the drones. I'm glad to hear that they're finally beginning to be used. Mike, I'm going to jump ahead to something that is not necessarily a news headline, but you're going to be making news with a new way of broadcasting news.
Yeah, we're going to be doing video from the cloud, essentially. It's a new product called Video Meeting. We're going to be beta testing it over the summer. In fact, we're recruiting beta testers right now, so folks folks are interested, we'll buy you a cup of coffee. Well, you get a free beta. You can try it for 30 days. And once you fill out the survey at the end of the period, we'll give you a coupon so you can get yourself a nice Starbucks coffee.
I love it.
But essentially, it's video from the cloud. So that, for instance, well, for me, what I will use it for is I can be the moderator. I can bring in my guests from anywhere in the world. All they need is a high-speed connection. Yeah. You know, good video and all that. And then we can produce video news, and it's really simple to serve up.
Mike, how can people sign up for this to become part of the test of this video meeting software?
Okay, you just go to www.videomeeting.biz, and you'll see the beta site. It'll ask you to fill out a little bit of information so that we know who you are. And then once we start launching the beta test sometime in July, we will send you the link for that, and you can try it for 30 days and let us know what you think.
Well, as you can see, folks, there's a whole lot of stuff you're going to get information in, and this opportunity, a chance to involve yourself in a really interesting beta test of a new technology called video meeting, simply by being involved with MITechNews.com. And that's the service that comes to your house every Friday, and it will be giving you all the headlines of what's going on in entrepreneurship and technology around the state of Michigan, around the world. And the editor is Mr. Mike Brennan. And simply go to MITechNews.com, and you can sign up there, or go to InternetAdvisor.net, scroll down the page next to his smiling face, and click on the Subscribe Now button, and you're on your way for absolutely nothing into a world of technology information. Mike, thanks so much for being with us, and I hope you have a very good time there at the Michigan Renewable Energy Fair out in Mason.
Thanks very much, Foster. I'll have a hot dog for you.
Thanks so much. That's Mr. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News.
It's what you down that hot dog with that I think is a concern.
Mike Brennan, thank you again for being with us. All right, we got our phone lines. People are starting to call in right now. Jerry and Pauline are with us, and we will get to their calls in just a moment. Let me tell you once again the number, 800-859-0957. Mr. Ed Rudell and Bill Carver and myself are standing by in studio here to answer your question, whether it happens to be about your computer in general or some error messages you're seeing or malicious things that are coming after you and your computer and the data that's on there. We're going to do our very best to get rid of the bad guys and to help you get back on your feet again with your computer. The number again, 800-859-0957. Back in just a minute to talk with Jerry from Dearborn Heights. Pauline, we're standing by for you as well and for the rest of the folks who are calling in to get some good advice here. Remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, by the way, to Eric Dortch and Shannon Mealy, who is answering the phones right now. Thank you very much for helping us behind the glass, as we say, making this program possible. All right, let's go on to our callers, and the number again, 800-859-0957. And Jerry in Dearborn Heights, thank you very much for waiting there for us. How can we help you today on the Internet Advisor?
For one thing, you're my favorite Saturday program.
Thank you. Let's see if we can live up to that.
Well, you can. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about somebody in your office went and bought a computer at a business, and I didn't write it down, and I need one. But I'm not a computer fan, but I need to get with somebody that can really help me.
You know, that's really, I'm glad you're saying that, because I think you were talking about my experience.
Yes.
I went to Comtech Services in Sterling Heights.
Yeah, you had that computer that Jenny was using forever,
right.
And she was nailed in and just thought that she wanted to have that desktop.
Yep.
And it turned around where you went to Comtech Services, Shane Hamlin, which is on, what, 19 Mile and Shaner.
Right.
And you went there, and actually she loved the laptop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Could you spell that for me? I couldn't get it.
Well, the place that is called Comtech Services, C-O-M-P.
Comtech.
Yeah, Comtech. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you how you can find not just Shane's place, and, you know, and as a complete disclosure here, we love Shane. I was delighted to go there. I wanted to bless his business because he's blessed us. But if you go to InternetAdvisor.net, our homepage, you're also going to find at the very bottom of our homepage there a little something that says, your trusted computer repair shops. And if you click on that, it will show you computer shops around the metropolitan area, matter of fact, down in Toledo, Ohio area as well, that listeners like you and others have said, this is a really good place to go. They are great at service, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And so, and Shane is one of those as well, because not just myself, but other people have really gotten good service there. Now, you're out on the west side of Detroit.
Yeah, but I don't care where I go.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I'm still in kindergarten.
Well, the nice thing you're going to find is when you deal with Shane and Paul Gergel, who's the other fellow out there, is that you're going to get the just wonderful personal service. And that's why I like small computer shops. And I vote for
them. What was that to go on? You said to go under what? On your internet? What was it?
Go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage. Scroll down the page and you'll see a section that says computer shops you trust. That's our, you know, trusted computer shops, okay? And okay. Your trusted computer repair shops. Click on that and you'll see a whole bunch of them then from around the metropolitan area of Detroit. This is for other people who may not want to travel that far or down in Toledo as well. But just go out there, Jerry, and let them sit down and hold your hand and you tell them what you want and they'll not steer you wrong, okay?
I'll tell you, I feel so comfortable listening and talking to you, and I really appreciate what you've done for me and other people.
You're very, very welcome. And by the way, Jerry, that is the secret, I think, of a lot of these computer shops, where they want to make you comfortable, and Shane and the guys do a great job of that. So thanks so much for calling, and I want to hear about your experience and how that went for you as well. Let's go to Pauline down in Perrysburg, Ohio, south of the border.
Yes.
Over by the petrol.
Thank you for taking my call.
How are you doing? How can we help you, Polly?
Well, I'm not very computer savvy, so mostly I make greeting cards on my computer.
Oh, I do too. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And every time I turn my computer on, there's this window that says Run DLL. There was a problem starting program. HP Envy 4500, which was a printer I used to have.
Uh-huh.
Now I have an Envy 5530.
Okay.
And it said the specified module could not be found. And I just click on OK and it goes away.
Uh-huh.
But I would just assume it didn't come on there. And why is it?
Okay, so just to make it clear, you can continue on, however, to do what you want to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Bill, Ed, what do you
think?
Well,
actually, the first thing, is that a Windows 7 or a Windows 8 computer? Windows 7. Okay. What you want to do is you want to go to your start menu.
Okay.
And then hit computer. And I believe in there you should be able to see a place on the top where it mentions about removing software. And what you can actually do is find anything HP, even if it's the printer you have, and just remove that.
Because
what's happening
is
the printer drivers and all the other software that they include from HP, which is a lot of it. It's a good printer, but they have a lot of software that... Mm-hmm. That it brings in.
Yeah, so you want to uninstall or change a program. That's the when you go to My Computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, I never use that, but that is the simplest way to actually access how to uninstall a program. I've always told people to go into Control Panel and then Programs and Features, but if you just go to My Computer, we've always had that toolbar there. So that's, Bill, that's a great tip.
Yeah, and in Windows 8, it's actually also, it's a different place, but easier to find. That's why I asked him that question. And, of course, the main thing is with HP, once you've got all that software removed, do yourself a favor also, go to the HP website and download the latest software, because what's on the CD that came with it is already old.
So her old computer, her original printer was an HP, and her new printer is also an HP?
Yes, they both are, yep.
Okay, so make sure that when you go in there, you're uninstalling the old software for your old printer. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I uninstall the Envy 4500, that should not come on again, is that correct?
That's right. It should take care of all the adjunct software that's on there. Now, it may or may not. I'm not sure.
Well, because she has a Run DLL, so there's something that's still, every time she starts up her computer, there's a program that's being referenced, and it's not there. So we're hoping, and Bill's hoping, and I, that this will take care of it, and it should. If not, there's one additional step you have to go into, and that would... run msconfig and uncheck that HP discovery utility that goes out there that tries to run every time the computer starts up.
Right. You could also use a program like CCleaner, which goes over through the registry and says, okay, here's all the stuff you've asked to start up, but it'll go check to see if it's all there. If it's not, it just wipes it out.
That's just too simple, Bill, but you're right. That would be downloading CCleaner and then running the startup wizard on there.
Yeah,
Pauline, do you know what CCleaner is?
Have you heard of that before?
I think my son, yes, I have it on here.
Good.
Yes,
very good.
CCleaner will not only clean your temporary files on your computer, but it also has a...
Registry cleaner,
and then, you know, checking for uninstalled programs. And
as a matter of fact, you can use CCleaner to uninstall programs
that
as well.
That are damaged, right. So
yep.
CCleaner will try to use the Windows uninstall, but if that fails, you have the ability using CCleaner's more aggressive uninstall.
Yeah, it's one of the other tools on the left-hand side of the menu on CCleaner. But we've given you a whole bunch of ways of doing it, Pauline. I mean, I guess the good news is this isn't a serious problem. It's kind of a leftover problem.
Yeah, right. Right.
All these different things that we've mentioned are ways of kind of sweeping out the attic and making sure that you have got a clean start, okay?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for taking my call and for helping me.
We're delighted to be able to help you. Thank you, Pauline, for calling in. And, you know, as I said at the beginning, kind of teasingly, you know, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. We love all levels of kinds of questions. Sometimes we get some very complicated ones. Last week, for some reason, we ran into a couple at the beginning of the program. We had a terrible time answering, and that'll happen every now and then. But as we answer your question, we're actually answering a whole bunch of people's questions, because you wouldn't believe how bashful folks get about asking about computers. Because it's like, if you use a computer, it's almost, it's expected you know how to do all. Not necessarily.
Oh, that's like my son. He came upstairs last week and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm getting a blue screen of death. Can you fix it?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll get to that. Don't worry. In a couple of days, you know." I just don't want to run down there, and you know, he's so used to me. I want to see if he'll jump and see if he'll try to figure
there
it out
you
himself.
Go. You want him to start away?
Yep.
Doing it as well.
He might just take your credit card and go to the Apple Store.
Don't say that.
Hey, Mike and Lenawee, we'll be with you in just a moment. And for the rest of you who are giving us a call, get in line, because we're able to answer a whole lot of questions today before we wrap up our program. My name is Foster Brown, Ed Rudell, and Bill Carver in studio to help you out here. Here's the number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Back to talk with Mike and Lenawee in just a minute, and to take your call as well. My name is Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program here for about the last 18 years. Mr. Gary Baker is off at a family wedding, but we've got Ed Rudell is in studio along with Bill Carver. Thank you guys for being here. And let's dive back into our calls and head down to Lenawee County. And Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
You advised me a couple of weeks ago that I should get malware bites.
Yeah.
And I did.
Uh-huh.
And then I went ahead and paid for a one-year deal for it.
Yeah. Okay, so you got the active version. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yesterday I received a phone call from a company called UTH.
Uh-oh.
Telling me that I needed, that I had a lot of errors, that it was my computer was sending errors, and I needed to send them.
Yeah.
I paid them $178.78 for a year, or
can
get
you,
a life, or 5 years.
Can we take
years.
A contract out on these people?
Well, it's just not them. There's a lot of companies.
I know.
So ignore it and tell them don't call you ever again, and I hope you didn't give them your credit card number.
No, I did not.
Okay, because they're phishing. They've called you out of the blue.
Yep.
I doubt if they got your personal information from Malwarebytes, because
right.
That's a German company. So a lot of cold people are receiving these cold calls.
Yep.
You know, just out of the blue. I receive them on my way home from work. And even Shane Hamlin has received them, because I don't have a home phone anymore, and he loves playing with them.
I know.
He gets them on the phone. He said he's going to tape the next one so that we could play it on the air.
We've got to do it. We've got to do it sometime. Let's take one of those suckers. Now, so, Mike, what did you do with them?
He had me hit the Microsoft key and R at the same time.
Oh, no, you did.
Some numbers.
Mike, what did you do? What did you do that for him?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Mike,
and
what else did you do?
It showed up like 2,500 errors.
I know, Mike. Don't.
Dating back to sometime in 2013.
Okay.
So what you.
I just want to find out. Hang on a second. Mike, did you do anything else?
Mine? What do you mean?
Well, you didn't pay him money, because obviously he had you go and download a piece of software and do a scan on your computer.
No, did he do that?
He did.
And you downloaded something to your computer?
Well, he must
have. Not that I know of.
Okay, good.
He's telling me that he's going to put Microsoft Defender, okay, Sea Cleaner, I don't know, about eight different things on.
Okay, Mike, I just want to be sure. Mike, here's what I just want you to stop for a second. And I want to find out from you is, what are the things that you did? You hit the Microsoft key and the R, and all sorts of information came up. What did you do after that?
Well, a page showed up that said event viewer.
That you're looking at the event viewer, yes. Okay, Mike, did you do anything else? This is the question I'm asking.
Well, he said, now, can you delete that? There's one highlighted there. Can you delete it? And I tried, and I said, no. And so anyhow, he's trying to sell me this.
Okay, he tried to...
I told him I didn't have the money. He says, well, you can't have your computer hooked. Oh, he also told me that my license, Microsoft license was shut off.
Mike, do you like fairy tales? Have you always liked fairy tales?
Well,
I'm not being rude, Mike. I'm just, because he was telling you a fairy tale, okay?
Yep.
But the key is this, what you believe of that. So have you done anything else to your computer as a result of this?
I unplugged it.
Okay, and that was it?
I pulled I have DSL. Frontier.
Okay, but
DSL, I just reached up and pulled the line out of the wall.
Okay,
and he went dead, but I still kept this event page.
Okay,
up here.
Okay. Then Mike, hang on a second. I'm glad we don't have video because the few hairs that I have in my head, I'm about to tear out.
There's a couple on a shirt now, actually.
Well,
let's just get to the bottom line. You could probably power up your computer.
Yes.
And this guy hopefully won't call. If he ever does, tell him not to call you anymore.
Yep.
And what software that he already has on his computer do you think he could safely run?
Yeah, Malwarebytes is just fantastic.
Absolutely.
For finding anything that's out there. And tell you the truth, what he brought you through was going into the event viewer, and he literally showed you something like... you know, if I went in my car and it just said check engine, it could just simply be my gas cap. In other words, it's not necessarily
there's all sorts of events that are on that log, aren't there?
Yes, there is.
And they're sometimes red flagged and sometimes they're yellow flagged. And you know what? Computers for decades have run with that information on there without anything going wrong. However, smart people like Ed and Bill can analyze that and find out when a problem is occurring that's real. What this guy did, however...
Mm-hmm. Was scare you. Was try to...
That's all.
Scareware, basically.
He told you a fairy tale. He told you a horror story.
I'm not necessarily scared. I didn't feel right, you know.
Good. You were right. You were right,
your
Mike.
Your instinct was right on.
Absolutely.
Actually, one thing you can do next time they call, of course, you could tell them not to call, but if you want to make them really not want to call, just tell them, look, all I have is an iPad. And as soon as you do that, there's no money for them.
You know, that's a great idea.
That's a good one, yeah.
Just tell them you have an Apple iPad and that you don't have a computer, and they'll hang up on you.
I'm not sure the morality of this, but since they lied to you, lie right back to them.
Okay.
Tell them you're running Linux.
That's what I did about the money, you know?
Oh, you know something? They have no... First of all, this is just... They pick your number at random. It's happening all over this country. It's happening all over the world. And the only problem is when we believe the fairy tale. That's it.
Okay.
So, Mike, I'm glad that you came out of this safe. Nothing has happened to your computer, and you can continue on to use it safely and just ignore calls like that. I'm sorry that you were unfortunately kind of terrorized by that, and you're not alone in that as well. We want to welcome somebody from Port Huron. I think it says Terry, but I think it may be somebody else. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Yes, it is. It's Harry.
Harry, sure. That's right.
And I wanted to call you back because I was one of those callers that you guys got stumped with last week.
That's right.
I solved the problem by... I was the guy that couldn't get the speech started, the speech recognition.
That's right.
What you have to do is, and I thought I did it by setting up the microphone. I didn't. I set up the microphone, but I didn't take the tutorial.
Well, and that's one of the things that we mentioned is that the first thing it does is it goes through the tutorial, and then you have to finish the tutorial, But everything that you had mentioned, it pretty much sounded like, well, he's done that. So what else could it be? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you redid it. So you took the completed the tutorial and everything started working?
Yes, I did. And you have to do that, folks. If you just think you're okay by just setting up the microphone, you're not.
So hang on a second.
Actually, click on take the tutorial.
This is setting up the dictation software on Windows 7.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So the key to this. So why is it important to go through the tutorial? I'm terrible. I don't read instructions. I just dive into it and then pay the price.
Well, for whatever reason,
screws left over too.
It makes you take it, and if you don't take the tutorial, it will not start, no matter how many times
I'll
you go to
be
try to start
darned.
It.
That is really interesting, Bill.
Yeah, that Windows speech recognition is actually quite old. I think it used to be Drag and Dictate way back when. What it had to do was to learn how you speak. If you're from Boston, then you say park the car. You know, it'll spell it totally different than if you're from Washington and park the car. But, so it gets to know that. So the more you train it, the more of extra things you do with it, the better it gets at, and the less often will it write haikus.
Well, Harry, it is good news to hear that the answer is as simple as read the instructions.
Yeah, exactly.
Take care, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. I love that. Okay, folks, the moral of the story is read the instructions, and that's just counter to anything that
I know. And as much as, Microsoft, they read these instructions, click OK, yes, but this is one of those instances where you have to finish the tutorial.
Yep, exactly. It's very important to do that. Art in Livonia, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, I'm listening to you guys right now. I'm on the computer, and I got a HP DeskJet 6122.
Okay, DeskJet 61, okay.
And my wife was on it, and she went to print something, recipe or that, and it didn't print.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the printer, it's on right now. I got it on, and the on button's on, but two buttons up is that ink indicator where if it's low on ink, flash. Well, I took the black and white ink cartridge out, took it to Costco, they refilled it, they said everything would be fine. It is not. Now, the colored one is full, he said, but it hasn't print color in quite some time. I don't know if it's dried up or if that's no good, but it used to print every time we'd hit it. Now it won't even shut off.
Art, a quick question. What computer are you using? What operating system? Windows 7?
Yeah, I got Windows 7. It's a Dell.
It sounds like you've been refilling the cartridges when you go. How long have you been doing that, and has it been successful in the past?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How often do you end up changing the ink cartridges themselves?
Oh, probably a year or two.
Okay. So, but Bill, what do you think? You probably have more.
Well, there's one thought that I have on that. If the cartridges haven't been changed and the ink has, there's actually little contacts at the back. You can click those, just get a pencil eraser, clean those off.
Yep, and it might be time, because you've been taking advantage of this for so long, just to go out to buy genuine HP cartridges, and that'll probably fix your problem, and get those filled. You're probably going to have to spend that $40.
Okay, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give a little more thought to this, and if we have anything to add, we'll get on with you. William, John, and Mark will be back to talk to you. I'd like to take a moment to thank the multi-talented Shannon Bailey, who is an engineer, producer, and also our phone screener today. Thanks so much, Shannon. And also Eric Dorch, thank you, sir, for all of the help that you've given.
You know, we looked up that printer. I didn't realize that printer from the previous segment was 14 years old. 2002 it was released.
Pardon me, but you're lucky to have gotten that much service out of it so far. I do understand, though, when you've had an old workhorse like that and it suddenly stops working, it's like,
And what we were discussing is go out, buy another HP product, and you can get those refilled, right?
Right.
And
right.
You can get a printer for $45 to $100. Or, like Bill said, you said...
Yeah, get a color laser printer. That's one of those things that never dries out, never has huge problems with that. It uses a lot of energy, but you'll get your print jobs faster. They won't
and that cartridge will last you for years.
Yeah,
the costs have come down incredibly as well. All right, let's go to a gentleman named William from Ann Arbor, the seat of all wisdom. Hi, William. How you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
I wonder, I'm planning to get Windows 10, when it becomes available in the next month or two. But in the meantime, I wonder if I can limp by with my Windows XP.
Okay, you've got XP right now on what, a laptop?
A laptop, yeah. Okay. Toshiba satellite laptop.
Okay, so your question is, can I get by until Windows 10 shows up?
Well, he's been getting by this long on Windows NP, only waiting another less than a month, practically.
Yeah, July 29th is when it officially comes out.
Yeah, now, one thing you do want to do, just to make sure that that computer can run it, there's a compatibility checker for Windows 8, and if you can't run Windows 8, it won't run Windows 10 either.
Right, okay. So it sounds like you're going to be buying a whole new computer when you eventually get Windows 8 or 10.
Yeah.
So,
do you understand that, William?
No.
Yeah, I don't think you can make the jump from XP to Windows.
Windows 8 or 10, you cannot do that.
Yeah, no, you can't make that jump. So you
I went through the Microsoft regime for testing that, and I guess I can't switch to either 7 or 8.1.
Right. Right, exactly. So you're kind of marooned with that XP, which you can continue using as best you can.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would do is prepare to back up your data and your favorites. Windows XP had the file and transfer wizard, and so you can actually run that in prep, just in case, because you have a very old computer running Windows XP, and you might want to run the file and transfer wizard in Windows XP and save the file. When the wizard says, where would you like to save this file, you could say, save it to this external drive that I have. I'm hoping you have some sort of backup media, and it'll save your files, your settings, your
or burn it onto a DVD.
So. Or burn it to a DVD, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and, William?
Okay, and the last thing is, should I consider doing something like PCmatic.com that appears on radio and television?
PCmatic.com? What, you mean to clean your computer up?
Yes.
Guys, what do you think?
What, you mean clean your old computer after you get all your data moved?
Clean it up just so it runs more efficiently in the meantime while I'm waiting for Windows 10. And
I don't think that's worth a worthy investment for just 30 days.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
William, you're at a point right now where you're facing getting a new computer. Depending on what you use it for, I'd start shopping around.
Yeah, you know, if you see a great deal right now, you'll be eligible for that free upgrade regardless.
Yep.
So if you find something that's on the market right now that, you know, this has everything I need except it's just running Windows 8.1, you get that free upgrade.
The other thing, too, William, would be to go, you're in Ann Arbor, let me go to a shop that sells a refurbished laptop. For instance, the one that I got for my wife, Ginny, at Comtech Services was a previously used computer, and it's beautiful. It's just refurbed. It's wonderful. And it cost half of what the original cost.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just tickled pink with it. So you might look for that as well. Okay, William?
Thanks for the tip.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call. And let's head out to Linda from Milford. Linda, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
My computer sort of crashed, and I took it in to get it fixed, and they said I needed a new security protection on it. And what they recommended was Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S.
Sophos, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I haven't found many people that are using it or even know it exists.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of a big fan, actually, of just Security Essentials and some other things. Microsoft does a pretty good job with that. And the other part, of course, the most important way you can protect yourself is to just be careful where you go. If you have something.
What kind of computer do you have, Linda?
Lenovo. It's not a year old yet.
Oh, well, then you've got a very nice computer there. I'm surprised that they would have said what they did. What operating system are you running?
Windows 8.
Well, see,
she's already got it.
Yeah. Not necessarily. If she bought the Lenovo, it's quite possible that it came pre-shipped with, like, McAfee or Norton.
Okay, it did. Uh-huh. And when I took it in, they found a bunch of viruses in it. And I already had Norton, who said, it comes up real often saying that it's been cleared.
Right. Yeah. So, Bill, now when I run across these, I usually uninstall, and you just mentioned this.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the Microsoft Security Essentials, or in Windows 8.1, it's Defender, right?
Defender, it's built
Defender,
in.
Defender, it's already, you just have to turn it on, yep.
Yeah, so basically, what's the process that a user would go through when they have a Windows 8.1 that's pre-installed with Norton or McAfee? How would they remove that?
Actually, it's right in the same spot. You go on the taskbar at the bottom, you'll see that little file explorer that you hit, the little folder, and when you go to the folder at the top of the screen, you'll see computer, and then you'll see uninstall and change of program right up there.
So what you're saying is we want to go in and uninstall the Norton or McAfee that comes pre-shipped, because these manufacturers, these companies actually pay vendors to put it on there so that the laptops are cheaper for end users to purchase.
Sure.
Exactly.
And basically, Windows Defender is a much better antivirus software. Yeah.
I believe it is. And of course, the best part is Windows Defender will come right up. As soon as it realizes there's no antivirus in the computer, it's going to tell you about that and ask you to activate it. So it's actually really, really
successful. So, Linda, you really don't need to purchase anything in addition to what came natively on your Windows 8.1. Lenovo's a wonderful machine, and if it's running Windows 8.1, it has Defender on it. Now, there are people out there who are jumping up and down and saying, no, you need extra. If you need extra security, I would get rid of the Norton. I would get rid of anything like that, and then get something like one of our previous callers who said they went to get Malwarebytes and buy the year subscription to it, which has an active virus protection on it.
Actually malware protection.
Protection.
So for $25, you get a license, and you get free antivirus with Microsoft. And if you're going to invest in protection on your computer, don't pay Norton or McAfee.
Or Sophos.
Pay someone that for, like, Malwarebytes that actually, you know, seems to find stuff that the other, even Microsoft, doesn't find on your computer.
And if you have further problems, Ed has put together a wonderful package of information under the toolkit. And there's something, for instance, called Combo Fix. When I get a really nasty infection, I will use Malwarebytes, and then I'll use Combo Fix on top of it, and it takes care of just about everything.
Yeah, I mean, but Combo Fix is something that I use when, oh my gosh, I can't get rid of this.
Exactly.
It's almost to the point I have to take it to a store.
And the good news is it's free, and it does one heck of a job. Okay, Linda?
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. And let's wrap things up here. I think we've got time for John. Hi, John. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. I think we may have lost John. In the meantime, let's go to Mark from Toledo. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor. We got about a minute or more to help you.
I've got a system that has Windows 8 on it, and I want to try to change it over to more of a classic standard look instead of all those themes all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Good. Here's what you go to classic.
In 1 month, upgrade to 10, you'll have it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. On July 29th, you will automatically get a download that will start putting on something that looks exactly like what I was going to say, Classic Shell. If you can't wait until then, go to classicshell.net and download that software, and you will have the look that you're looking for, Mark. So we got to run, but thank you very much for your calls. And Sean and Ken, if you'd hang on, we'll try to talk with you after we're off the air here. Thanks, folks, for a great show today. Hope that you will come around next Saturday, July the 4th. Stand up and salute. We're going to be here answering questions. So if you happen to be, just kind of hanging around and have a question about your computer, never fear. We'll be here along with all the rest of the experts on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes to answer your questions. Take care.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find show notes for this podcast or others, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.